So we've been talking about the kingdom of God, specifically the thousand year millennial reign. So we know today we're living, our present age is the dispensation of grace, and after that there's a 7 year tribulation period that was prophesied. And Mark has been teaching on what's going on during that 7 year tribulation leading up to the day of the Lord when Satan is cast out of heaven. And I was talking about the thousand years that comes after that. So we looked at that. I'm not going to get down through all that again. That we saw back in the book of Exodus, it was prophesied that the nation of Israel would be he says, you shall be a kingdom of priests. And I think that thousand years reign, that's gonna happen. They will be a kingdom of priests. So anyhow, there's a couple of verses that I wanted to touch on. Sorry, I'm gonna shake you today. I worked in the yard yesterday. Last night I went in, sat on the recliner, and was just wiped out. had to shake all night long, so you can probably hear it in my voice this morning. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 65. let's see. Verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. I think this verse is talking about the day of the Lord. He says he's going to create new heavens and a new earth. We know that Scripture says that every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be made low. Day of the Lord, there's going to be judgment poured out on the earth. There's going to be a great earthquake. There's going to be some physical changes to the earth. We know that Satan's going to be cast down out of heaven. It says here there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. There's also going to be new heaven and a new earth at the end of the thousand years. There's also going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But this here verse, I believe, is talking about the day of the Lord. It says here, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That's interesting. A couple weeks ago we read verse 20, there shall be no more than an infant of days, nor old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And I believe that's talking about a person could be 100 years old and have the innocence of a child, the same innocence that got him into the kingdom. That was a tough verse. Verse 21, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Talk about in the kingdom. During that 1,000 years, they shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, long. You have to wonder, you think about back there during before the flood, when Noah, Adam lived, what, 930 years old. Talk about the days of a tree. You know, you think of an oak tree taking 50 or 100 years to mature. It says here, as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, will I hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. That's not the condition that exists now. Of course, we know that all of creation is belongs to God. But right now, Satan has got stronghold in the heavenly places. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? We talked about this thousand-year millennial reign being referred to as the rest of God. We saw back in the Old Testament back there where the children were going to be going in to the... we saw when the nation of Israel went out of Egypt, and they were going to go into the land, and the leaders would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord, and God was angry with them, and that generation didn't get to go in, but the children got to go into the kingdom. I think the same thing, that same pattern is going to happen again going into the thousand-year millennial reign, back then those children got to go into the promised land. Likewise, the children of Israel will get to go into the kingdom, into that rest. Verse 2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I have to wonder about this verse, but other places it talks about sacrifices, and especially back during that 7 years of tribulation, it talks about them reinstituting sacrifices. So, but here it says, "He that sacrificed a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck, that's not a good thing." So, of course, we know that Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. So, kind of makes it sound like there's not going to be any blood sacrifices out in the kingdom in 1,000 years, at least when I read this verse. Verse 4, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer, but when I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy. They shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. And before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made forth to bring, spring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Think about this. Through the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, it's a time when the nation of Israel, God has turned his back on the nation of Israel, put him into captivity. These verses here makes it sound like it's comparing them to a woman being with child. She's going to carry the baby for 9 months only to die at birth. That's the question. The answer is no. Verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice with joy for her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. I guess that's where that song comes from. In the glory of the Gentiles, like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be born upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. Talking about Jerusalem. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye shall see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and his indignation towards his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination of the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. That's all I do. Talk about the mouse. I guess eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouse. Seems so insignificant, but there must be more to it. There must be more to that that I don't know. Verse 18, For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Interesting were names like Pul and Lud, Tubal and Javan. You have to go way back to like Genesis. I think it's Genesis chapter 10 to find these names. Talk about Gentile nations, I think. To the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. They shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord, out of all nations upon horses, and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests, and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. That's a fascinating concept, verse 23, it says, from one new moon to another. One new moon to another is a month's time. So month to month and from week to week, one Sabbath to another. Month to month and week to week shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. You have to wonder, how is that possible? I wondered what kind of transportation system is going to be in place during that time in all flesh. Or will it be that kind of like the back in the Old Testament when there was one that would represent others, like a priest would go on behalf of the people. I'm not sure, but this here says, all flesh shall come to worship before me, saith the Lord. How that's going to happen, I really don't know. Verse 24 is interesting. So this is during the kingdom, during that 1,000-year reign. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorrent unto all flesh. So you have to wonder, is this during the 1,000 years or is this throughout eternity? And the answer is, it's got to be during the 1,000 years, because when you get over to Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21 talks about after the great white throne judgment. And he says, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I don't think that in eternity future they're going to look down upon the carcasses of them that transgress. I think it'll be like the other verse where those things are forgotten. I think so. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be opened a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Scripture says in that day, those terms, in that day, consistently here refers to the day of the Lord, the day of his wrath, after the 7-year tribulation, at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign. In that day, verse 2, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. They shall no more be remembered. And also, I will cause the prophets, the unclean spirits, to pass out of the land. Talk about that land of Israel that he marked out for Abraham and promised for them. Verse 3, and it shall come to pass, when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, but thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. Typically, when it says thrust him through, it's usually thrust him through with the sword. It shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I think verse 6 is talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 7, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. So we see that, of course, we know that not all that is of Israel is Israel, just because they're descendant of Abraham. They're not a true Israel. So here we see in this verse here the prophecy that two-thirds of Israel is cut off and a third is brought through the fire and is refined. Look down at verse, another interesting verse, Zechariah chapter 14. Talking about verse 9, And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Anyway, verse 12. Did you ever see the pictures of that they made of nuclear explosions? You see a person standing there, and a nuclear bomb goes off, and it just, you see this big shockwave, and their flesh just burns away while they're standing there, and then suddenly they just disintegrate, just blow away. That's what I think about when I read verse 12. says, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes. That's talking about the judgment in the day of the Lord. Turn back with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Couple miscellaneous verses here we're looking about, talk about what's going to happen during the kingdom, the thousand year reign. Verse 23 is where I want to go. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Clearly they're going to recognize who's in authority during the kingdom, during the thousand year reign. Okay. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm not going to go through Ezekiel 36 and 37 are interesting. They talk about Ezekiel 36 talks about when the nation of Israel is converted and they're going to, God's going to put his spirit in them. Ezekiel 37 is talking about the physical resurrection of their bodies, where the bones come together and the sinews grow and the flesh and the skin covers them and he breathes air into them, life. I wanted to point out one verse here in Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Anyway, interesting, this concept that, of course, we're talking about the land of Israel there. The Lord's going to be in Jerusalem. This prophecy is talking about the land of Israel. That same land that when they came out of Egypt, they went back into that land. Focusing on this, it says here in verse 36, the land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. The concept is interesting because when you look at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, you find that God is reverting back. The earth is going to return like it was in the beginning. It's like all things that are going to be as they were in the beginning. So we know that in the beginning God had created a garden in Eden. And at the end of the Bible we find this new creation is going to be the tree of life. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden. Anyway, this verse is interesting. During that thousand years, Jesus Christ is going to be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. And the land of Israel is going to be like the Garden of Eden. So, anyhow. I'm sure there's a lot more in Scripture in the Old Testament about the kingdom. You just got to go out there and dig out these verses. So anyway, I wanted to go back and talk about some things we discussed last week. So turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 3. So during this study on the kingdom, we were talking about Revelation 20 talks about the first resurrection. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ was the first. Jesus Christ was called the first fruits unto God. He was the first one resurrected. He was not the first one raised from the dead, but Jesus Christ was the first one resurrected unto eternal life. Out there in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the first resurrection. Talk about the resurrection of the dead. And so we were discussing last week who's going to be resurrected during the first resurrection. We saw that the elect of God, the first resurrection happens when Jesus Christ comes back at the day of the Lord. He said, blessed is he who hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Okay, I told you to turn to Romans 3, but turn to Revelation 20. Point of clarification. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. So Revelation 20, verse 1, 2, Satan's cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. What's the first resurrection? It says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their hands or foreheads. So if they were beheaded, they were dead. But it said they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the first resurrection. Verse 5 is a little confusing because it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. You could get confused and say, when the 1,000 years are finished, this is the first resurrection. You see, it's a little wordy there. But the first resurrection is where those that have not worshipped the beast, those people that were beheaded during the tribulation, they're resurrected. Scripture says that God's going to gather his elect from the four winds. So we know that the first resurrection is for saved people, the elect of Israel and the elect the body of Christ. The point I wanted to make, the point of clarification, was last week I said there was two resurrections. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. But Scripture really doesn't say there's a second resurrection. It just says there's a second death, so it might sound like I'm splitting hairs, but I think it's important. So when you see here in verse 5, it says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, we were talking about last week about the Matthew 25, talking about the separation of the sheep and the goats. When does that happen? Now, I wasn't quite sure, so first let me finish this point about the first resurrection. Just looking at the wording here in this chapter, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So we automatically can tell just from that wording there that unsaved people are not going to be part of the first resurrection because they're not blessed. They're damned. It says, on such, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Skip down to verse 11, talks about the great white throne judgment. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. Well, who's dead here at this point? Because saved people are going to be resurrected at the day of the Lord. The elect of Israel and the elect of God, those who have come through the tribulation. So this must be the rest of the dead people, the unsaved dead, those that have died during the thousand-year millennial reign. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So nowhere in there do you find the words second resurrection. It's only called the second death. So I presumed, based on the term first resurrection, that there must be a second. But truth be told, those words don't. There's first resurrection and second death. So I had misconception. Verse 12, I had a misconception that these people were going to be resurrected to life only to be judged. But the scripture does not say that. It just says, and I saw the dead. The dead are still dead. The dead are going to be judged. They're not going to be, anyway, might seem like a trivial point, but I want to clear that. Maybe you, like, oh yeah, we knew that, but sometimes you get a mental block and you think a certain way sometimes for years. So okay. Anyway, another point, verse 14, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'll honestly admit that for many years I thought hell and the lake of fire were one and the same, but they're not. Because here in this verse it says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's a verse we read all the time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So when are the dead going to be judged? Here it says the dead are going to be judged at his appearing and his kingdom. So that's true. When I read into this verse, I'm thinking, how many judgments are there? Of course, we know that there's a judgment at the first resurrection, right? There's people that are dead going to be resurrected. Blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. There's going to be a judgment to save people. Of course, we see that in 1 Corinthians. Gold, silver, precious stones. There's going to be a judgment to save people. Anyway, I thought it was interesting that he said, you shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Kind of lines up with first resurrection and second death. Now, just got a couple minutes to go here. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, ye gave me meat. Skip down to verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, so first we can understand that the original intent of everlasting fire. Here we think about everlasting fire being hell. We just read over in Revelation 20 that death and hell were going to be cast into the lake of fire. So my understanding is the lake of fire was originally created for the devil and his angels. So anyway, here we're seeing this judgment happening. When is this judgment happening? It says here, when the Son of Man, verse 31, shall come into his glory and all his holy angels with him. That's clearly talking about at the day of the Lord. There's going to be some judgment happening. And this is another one that I previously thought that all mankind, alive and dead, saved and lost, we're going to be resurrected for this judgment here. When I read Revelation chapter 20, I have the understanding that at the day of the Lord, there's only going to be the elect, the blessed, that are going to have part of the first resurrection, which tells me that there's going to be those that, verse 34, then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that 41 would refer to those people that are still alive. The lost people that are still alive that are going to be judged. Because when you go to Revelation 20, it says, and the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. So I think that there's some unsaved people that are not resurrected at the day of the Lord. They remain unsaved and they remain lost. And they're not resurrected. They're simply going to be judged of the second death. Okay, hope that's not confusing to you. I was questioning when this was separation of the sheep and goats was going to happen. And to me, this happens at the day of the Lord. But my point of clarification is I don't think that unsaved people are resurrected at the day of the Lord for this judgment. I think they remain unsaved and unresurrected until the second, to the great white throne judgment. Okay. We're about out of time. I didn't even get to Romans 3, but last week we were talking about those people that do, okay, we got a couple minutes. Turn to Romans 3. We're talking about those people that died before the flood. So Romans 4, 8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 5, 12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So, yeah, I have to ask the question, since the law is not there for these people, they're going to have a second chance. We saw in Romans 1 and 2 that no, they're not going to have a second chance. They're going to be judged without what? For Romans 2:12 says, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. Verse 14 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Okay, last week we raised the question, by which gospel were they saved prior to the flood? We saw in Ecclesiastes, the last book of Ecclesiastes, the whole duty of man was to fear God and keep His commandments. We saw that out there in Revelation 22. Of course, talked about in Revelation, the everlasting gospel was fear God. We saw in Revelation chapter 22, those that loved the Lord kept His commandments. Seems to be a running theme through Scripture. Fear God and keep His commandments. So, what gospel was preached back then? Here's what I wanted to point out. Turn to the book of Jude with me. Jude chapter 2. Just messing with you. Just seeing who's awake. Jude verse 6. While we're here, I want to make this separate point. Verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So, that's way back. Noah's day, that's back in Noah's day before the flood. Those angels which left heaven came down and mingled and bred with the daughters of men, had giants to them. So God says there, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto the darkness and judgment of the great day. So there is going to be judgment of angels during the day of the Lord. We know that the man of sin and the beast are going to be thrown into the lake of fire before the 1,000 years. And Satan's going to be thrown into the lake of fire after the 1,000 years. So like the beast and the false prophet are going to be thrown into the lake of fire before, this verse says these angels which left the first estate are going to be subject to judgment of the great day. The great day is talking about the day of the Lord. Anyhow, verse 14 is what I wanted to point out. What gospel was being preached back then? Because it's not written down much. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. So if you go back and count the genealogies, you'll find that Enoch lived. He was the seventh generation from Adam. Prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with which ungodly sinners have spoken against. These are murmurers, complaining, walking after their own lusts, in their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Okay, so obviously back then, there was some prophecy made about the day of the Lord, about judgment, thousands of years in the future, way after the flood, way after Jesus Christ. So, although there's not much recorded about which gospel is being preached here, seven generations from Adam, there's prophecy being made about that time. So, all right, I've gone way over. But just wanted to share with you some things Scripture talks about that thousand-year reign, about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And of course, there's the kingdom of heaven on the earth, that thousand-year reign. There's also the kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem that's going to come down after the thousand years. So.